I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know if many of you can tell or perhaps assume, but I don't fish. I tried it once when we were kids. We went to a cottage with my parents, and we had these plastic fishing rods from Canadian Tire that were bought. And I remember it was exciting taking them out of the box and getting it set up, casting the first line, and after that, I was pretty much over it. I had no desire to wait and see what I had caught, if I would catch anything. I had no patience, and fishing was just not my calling. But this is where we find the disciples today. They're fishing. And we don't actually know why they decided to go fishing. Perhaps they saw it as an opportunity to relax, to get their mind off of all that had gone on, so they decide to fish. Perhaps they had nothing to eat and needed food, so they decided to fish. Or perhaps Simon Peter, who is the first one to say he is going fishing, does this because in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark, we know that he is a fisherman. That is what he did before he followed Jesus. So maybe Simon Peter was simply going back to his regular way of life. We don't know why they went fishing, but they went fishing. And previous to this, so much has happened. Mary has seen Jesus risen in the tomb. She has run back and told the disciples, and they have seen him themselves twice. They have received the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has told them that they are able to forgive sins. And the Gospel of John says, after this, many other signs were done. These are great things. This is the Easter joy. But it's also a time of change for the disciples. In the midst of the joy, they have lost their teacher in a way they had before. Their friend, the one whom they followed. Perhaps they're a bit in shock, in sadness. They're not even all together anymore. In this gospel reading, some of the disciples are together, but they're not all there. The group has been separated, and we don't quite know where the others are. This is a time of change. These disciples are living through change. It can be a time of uncertainty. So although I can't necessarily relate to the concept of going fishing, of wanting to go fishing, I can understand at this time maybe why they would want to do something that might be familiar to them. Living through change can mean a lot. It can be exciting. There can be so many new possibilities and ideas and creativities, and doors can open, and it can bring us closer to the life that we want or perhaps hope for. It can be exciting. It can also be disruptive. Sometimes the things that change are things that we don't want to change. And it can disturb everything we have planned and throw everything up in the air. And it can be uncertain. We don't quite know what's happening. Change can happen, and change can lead to another change and another change and another change until we don't know which change we're living in. When I first began in university, in my first year, I used to get tons of calls from my parents. We miss you. We don't know what to do at home without you. It's just the two of us. I see some university students nodding here. And after I finished my undergrad, I went back to live at home as I started my Master's of Divinity. And I was just living my regular life at home. And my parents came up to me one night and said, "You know, it's great to have you, but we've kind of developed a routine, and you're really messing it up." We were living through a time of change. How are we going to live together again? Perhaps it was a bit of a time of uncertainty. How long would I really live with them? We face changes as individuals, and we face changes as a community. As a community of the Church of the Redeemer, we are no stranger to change. Since Easter, we have bid farewell to David Howells, whose feet, I'm sure, are sore as he continues his pilgrimage. And we have welcomed Susan Haig, our interim priest in charge. And today we have the exciting news of our new incumbent as we welcome that change. We respond to changes outside of these walls in our community. What are the needs of our community? How do we respond to those as a community of faith with our resources? How do we meet the needs of others? How do you live through change? Are you perhaps a bit of a wallflower? You back away and kind of want to watch what happens, see how to insert yourself? Or perhaps you hold tighter. You want to gain control of the other things in your life that haven't changed. Or perhaps you love change. You just jump in and just enjoy. How do you live through change? In reading this gospel, I hear Jesus' call to the disciples for how they should live through change. Jesus calls the disciples to action. Throughout the gospel, he says, "Cast the nets, bring the fish, come, have breakfast, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, follow me." These are words of action, and Jesus calls the disciples into action, not giving them busy work, not giving them random things to do. Karen Wiseman says that in this gospel, Jesus is recommissioning the disciples. He is reminding them who they are and what they are called to be, what they knew when they were following him in ministry, and what they are to remember now in these times of change. These disciples are going to continue to live through change, not knowing what will come, not knowing how their lives and how their ministries will look in the future. And they're called to act in ways that might surprise them or jolt them. Simon Peter continues to tell Jesus how he loves him. And Jesus said, "Feed, tend, act." On Easter Sunday, it was my first Easter Sunday as an ordained priest, and I woke up pretty early, earlier than I thought after that Easter vigil. But I woke up to news of bombings and pain and suffering in Sri Lanka. And it touched me and shocked me and saddened me in ways that I didn't know it would. My family is from Sri Lanka, and I have been there many times. And it's a place where many of my friends and family still are. And I thought to myself, are people scared to go to church? Am I scared to go to church? And to be honest, I was. I felt connected to this in a way that I didn't know that I would. Later in the week, I was invited to be part of a ring of peace that gathered around a church in Toronto, standing with people of other faiths, standing with people of this parish, showing solidarity. And usually I don't do these public things. I just tend to shy away from them a bit. But I felt a call to go to this. I felt a pull. And so I went. And I stood, and it gave me hope. It was a call to action that in a way that I've never participated in before. But it was what I needed. It was what I was called to do. It was living out my faith, my hope. In times of change, Christ calls us into action, reminding us that we are a people of hope, a people of faith, and a people of love for one another and for God. This call to action strengthens us beyond the joy of Easter, carries us into Pentecost, and as we move forward in other times of change in our life. As we continue to live in change, whether it be exciting or whether you're not so sure, let us continue to live in action, casting our nets widely for all that may come, feasting and feeding together around this table, tending to one another, and in all that we do, following Christ. Amen.